Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories. It's all right here for you with this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Remember to visit us online, too, at besteveryou.com. And now here's your host, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino.
Hello, everybody. Boy, that title sounds a little fancier than reality. Reality is more like mom of four boys who are all home for the summer. They're 13, 15, 17, and 19, and so we're doing a little bit of working from home, hanging out with the kids, and a lot of hanging out at the grocery store. I know I posted in my social media yesterday, how many eggs do you think four boys can go through in 1 week? And, you know, it was multiple choice, you know, like a dozen, two dozen, three dozen, an entire crate, depends on if Connor's home. There were some pretty funny answers there. Somebody wrote, as long, maybe the hen needs to retire or something like that. There are all sorts of funny answers to it. So thank you for that. And I did another one yesterday, four boys at home, guess where I am? And everybody was guessing. It was really cute. The first guess was hiding. Nope. But I was at the grocery store buying more eggs. So we gave away a free copy of Percolate to the person who answered that correctly. That was really cute and lots of fun. So I appreciate you, your engagement in social media with me. We have lots of fun there, and we'll try and keep that going for the summer. I know everybody's a little bit unfocused off the computer and onto the sunshine and being outside, especially if you're here in Maine, where I am, where, you know, the sun has finally started to show. And our guest is from California, and we were joking before we came on the air that, you know, it's finally, you can hear him laughing, it's finally the month that it's okay in Maine, and that would be July, and we're getting close to it. So we're getting a little bit of a work up to July when the weather's nice and the fog's away and the snow melted and all that good stuff. So lots of fun, and I appreciate all of your support, listening to the show and sharing the show. You've helped us reach several, almost 2 million downloads and shares, and we just really, really appreciate your support of the Best Ever You Show. And I know our guest has a book to share with our network today. He's got lots more to share than that. But we have Jonathan Robinson with us, and I'm so excited to welcome him. Hi, Jonathan. How are you?
Hi, Elizabeth. I'm doing good.
Good. Welcome. We're going to talk. We're going to have you with us. We're going to try and go the full hour. But everybody listening, if you don't know who Jonathan Robinson is, I'm guessing you probably do. He's a best-selling author of 10 books, and he's a professional speaker from Northern California, my favorite place. I love that Lake Tahoe area. He has reached over 250 million people around the world with his practical methods and his work. Which has been translated, by the way, into 47 languages. Articles about Jonathan have appeared in USA Today, Newsweek, the Los Angeles Times, dozens of other places. He's been on Oprah before, which we all could only hope and pray to be on one day. That's really cool. I know it seems to be everybody's goal is to be on Oprah. So you've also been on CNN. That's another goal. And many other national TV talk shows. I mean, I think anywhere where you go with your book, even if it's one person, you probably make a great impact with it. The book is called Find Happiness Now, 50 Shortcuts for Bringing More Love, Balance, and Joy into Your Life. It was just released a couple months ago. And as we're listening to Jonathan and all the things he's going to talk about and share with us about his book, you can also visit his website at findinghappiness.com. So, Jonathan, are we happy today? Are you happy today? I'm happy. Are you happy?
I am happy today. I'm cuddling up next to my retriever puppy, and it's sunny. And there's a lot to be grateful for if my mind doesn't go off the rails, which it sometimes does.
Well, you know, we all have that. It just depends on the day, I guess. How do you prevent that, I guess? Let's go there, because so many people, I'm not sure everybody wakes up in the morning and is so grateful, gratitude, joyous, and happy. I think sometimes people wake up and they don't feel good, they're sick, there's something wrong in their life, or perceived as something wrong. How do we not kind of go off the rails and keep focused and down the train of happy, get on the happy train?
Well, I was fortunate to have a severe depression as a teenager, so it got me interested in looking at what helped at a very early age. I kind of had my midlife crisis at age 13. So that got me focused on what are the best methods that can be done generally in under a minute that can really help people let go of negative emotions and get back to being present and hopefully happy. And in my book, I came up with 50 because they were kind of like the greatest hits, things that really worked for me and tended to work for others. So what I can do is, you know, as the hour goes on, talk about several of them. And they're all different. So if one doesn't work for you, you find another one that does. You know, I have about five or six that are just really, really effective that I can do in maybe 30 seconds. I can easily let go of anger or irritation or frustration or whatever it is and get back to feeling peaceful or joyous. And that's like a really good friend.
Yeah, that's awesome. Can I back you up a second and just ask, what was it at age 13 that caused the depression, or why did you have it? I'm not sure if that's phrased exactly right, but was there something mm-hmm. underlying, or did something happen to you? Because I think a lot of people, the reason why I want to pull that to the surface is I think so many people suffer silently with depression, and I think we're getting more and more to the point where we talk about it openly, but I think there's a lot of work yet to be done. So when somebody actually gets brave and says, hey, I've suffered from this or I still suffer from it, I think it might resonate with people.
Yeah, well, back then, first of all, depression kind of runs in my family, you know, genetically. In fact, it, you know, depression doesn't just run in my family, it practically gallops. So I had that genetic predisposition, but at the time, my stepfather was an alcoholic, and sometimes he'd come home and beat me up. And that certainly made me feel powerless. So that was going on, and we had also moved recently, so I'd lost all my old friends. And the combination of that really, you know, led to a crisis.
And what did, in the crisis moment, did you, I sometimes like to take people back there because so much of what people do in their childhood makes for what they are, makes for who they are today and why they do mm-hmm. what they do. Was that your why moment right there of why you do what you now do? Because it looks like you
I think
you
so.
That.
You know, it certainly put me on my search in early age. And from that search, you know, now I have that career where I've reached a lot of people and I write books to figure out ways that I can help people in a similar circumstance. And so I'd say, you know, looking back, I'm really grateful for that time because it got me going and looking for ways out of misery and into happiness at a very young age. And by the time I was 20, I was a whole different person.
Wonderful. That's really nice to hear. Do you know how people say, when you say, how are you today, some people say, fine. What's that mm-hmm. really mean? What's that mean? How are you? Fine.
Well, in this culture, it doesn't really mean anything. It's like saying hello back.
Yeah.
If people were honest, you know, most of the time we'd be saying, I'm rushed, I'm stressed, focusing on something negative, and we'd see that we really have a problem. You know, the depression epidemic is a real big problem in this culture. But the lack of joy, even for people who are doing okay, is also a problem. If you think of the happiest people you know, probably most of them are under the age of six. Because,
yes, they are, aren't they?
Kids are happy a lot, but adults aren't.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. There's days where I'm just, you know, stressed or something is unhappy or something's sad or not attainable or you wish you could change something and so forth. So I'm really looking forward to hearing the ways that you've found and the shortcuts you've got. Again, you said you had 50 shortcuts for bringing more love, balance, and joy into your life. You know, find happiness now. I would love for you to share some of your insights with our audience because it sounds like you have some really great knowledge.
Well, I would love to, and let's start with a couple right now. And when you have 50, you there's a lot of options, so which is great because not everybody likes Häagen-Dazs ice cream. I find that amazing. Different people like different things. So by giving people a lot of simple methods, they're sure to find something that works for them. So let me give you a couple that I can describe in 30 seconds. One of them is to simply schedule time each week to do the thing that you most love in the world. So that might be walking your dog. It might be connecting with an old friend. It might be painting. It might be anything. But if you schedule it, it will likely happen. And most people are so busy nowadays that if they don't schedule stuff, a lot of times it doesn't happen. I sometimes ask people, what's your favorite thing to do? And they say, play tennis. And I say, when was the last time you did that? And they say, 9 months ago. Well, that's unfair.
As a parent.
Go ahead, sorry.
I was just going to add to your schedule.
I say take 30 seconds a week and schedule what you really love to do.
Yeah, I was going to add to that just from a parent standpoint. We're masters at scheduling our kids for things. But when it comes to us, sometimes we totally space. I take my son Cam for a second. It's like, okay, Cam, you're scheduled for a baseball game. There you go, something you love to do. I was just saying, it came to mind as you were talking. But I don't know that I'm going to schedule myself to go do something. So that's a great idea. It's a really great idea.
And especially in your case where you have four kids, if you don't schedule time for you, then your week can be totally used up before you get to you.
Yep, absolutely. And I remember that very well when they were like 0, 2, 4, and 6, like praying just for a shower,
sleep, and food,
basic things. Yeah, exactly. Awesome. That's great information.
So another technique I like, I realize that gratitude is a really good feeling. And a lot of people, their method for feeling gratitude is to have everything in their life going exactly the way they want. Now, if that's your method for feeling gratitude, then you'll feel grateful about once every 5 years, which is a drag.
Yeah.
So I'd heard of an Indian guru who had this supposedly magical mantra that helped you to feel gratitude immediately. So I wanted to know what this magic phrase was and try it out. So I travel all the way to India. It's 18,000 miles, and then you have to take a bus to his ashram, and I finally get to his ashram, and I'm jet-lagged and worn out, but I'm excited to hear what this magical phrase is. So I finally get a chance to talk to this guy, and he says, yes, my magical mantra is the greatest mantra on earth for feeling grateful. And he leans in to whisper it to me, and I'm very excited. He says, whenever possible, repeat the following words in your head. The mantra I give you are the words, thank you.
I knew you were going to say
that.
Well,
I said, that's it? I travel 18,000 miles to get thank you?
For thank you?
That's it?
Never forget that, will you?
He said, no, that is the mantra you have been using. That mantra makes you feel like you never have enough.
That is really funny.
My mantra is thank you, not that's it. That's it will take you nowhere. But thank you will quiet your mind and open your heart.
Yeah.
What was that?
What did you say? Sorry. What did you say about open your heart, open your eyes and open your heart?
Yeah, he said, if you say thank you enough, it will open your eyes and open your heart. And, I was pissed off, but I finally decided I would try to use it. I traveled quite a ways. And I leave his ashram, and I get a taxi. I say thank you for the taxi, and then I reach into my pocket. There's money to pay him. Thank you for this money. And there's air conditioning in the taxi, so I say thank you for the air conditioning. I go to my hotel, and I take a shower. I say thank you for the shower. Thank you for the warm water. Thank you for the soap. And it was interesting. Within an hour, I actually had tears of gratitude going down my face from saying thank you from my heart rather than just my head. And it really worked. You know, we live better than kings lived 30 years ago. We have, you know, we can talk to anyone in the world from anywhere in the world. We have all the world's information in our smartphone. We have access to all this music and movies and medical care. But if you don't have a simple method for tuning into gratitude, all that becomes invisible to you, and you start to take it all for granted. So this simple mantra, saying thank you for each thing that comes to me, and recognizing that, you know, my dog, my wife, my air conditioner, my computer are all like free gifts, helped me to feel grateful. Gratitude is a really wonderful feeling. If you're not experiencing it on a daily basis, you really are missing out.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I find sometimes too with gratitude that sometimes it takes an illness or something to wake people up to gratitude and the change maybe that they've needed to make for a really long time and so forth. Do you find that kind of, in the things that you do, do you see that as a common thing that wakes people up to gratitude a little bit more?
It does. You know, think of it that there's a lot of different ways to one goal. So let's say your goal is to feel more grateful. Well, you can try to have control everything in your life to be the way you want. That's one method. Another method is to get cancer, because they'll realize, gee, life is short, I'm alive right now, you know, and cancer does help people feel grateful sometimes. But this thank you method, where you take everything that's happening in your life and say thank you for that, thank you from your heart, is a more efficient and effective method, and a much better method than getting cancer, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, no, I would agree, and I think that's the point I was trying to make, is that, you know, maybe if you put those thank yous in motion, it might even prevent it, because I think so many people live under stress and forget about gratitude that it causes illness. You see in my social media, there's a thing people go, gosh, I even know when you wake up in the morning. I'm like, yes, you do, and it always says, good morning from wherever I am, hashtag gratitude. And it's usually a picture of something I've taken because I'm kind of a hobby photographer. And just that simple act of sharing gratitude with everyone, myself, you know, it just helps, and it comes from my heart. And I agree with you when you said that. I love that, what you just said. Say thank you from your heart rather than your head. It's meaningful and different.
Yeah, and it sometimes takes a momentum to get going. You know, when you're stopping a car that's going fast, you have to slow it down first before you can turn around. That's the same thing with us, that if there's a momentum of taking everything for granted, it may take a while saying thank you from your heart before you really feel it. But at some point, you will really feel it. And once you taste gratitude, it's addictive. It's kind of like chocolate, you know. It makes you want to have the next bite of gratitude as well.
Yeah, which I've given up for carrots. But no, I love chocolate. But, you know, the other thing, too, I was going to say, you know, my gratitude from me sometimes comes from a different point of view, in that, you know, I've nearly died from food allergies a couple times. And a little bit of me did need that wake-up call back in 1998 and then 1999 to really put some steps in motion where I changed my energy, my behavior, my peacefulness, my gratitude, my values, you know, all those things to kind of set a different me in motion. And dying will do that to you a little bit. You know, when you have your life threatened like that, you see gratitude in a different way, or at least I do.
Yeah, it's a wake-up call that helps you to change your perspective, just like my depression did. And a lot of people are getting wake-up calls, but they aren't getting the message. They're not necessarily doing something different. And that's a dangerous place to be, because then the wake-up calls have to get louder.
Yeah, and that's why I love this call, because I think you're giving people little ways to wake up, which is beautiful.
Right, without having to go through trauma.
Yeah, without too much. Yeah, exactly. Genius. All right. So do you mind? We could go through all 50 of them, but I know we're not going to. But I would love more. I think our audience would love more. We're getting some tweets in here, too, that we'll cover in a minute.
Sure. Well, let me cover a really quick one and then one that will involve you.
Okay.
A really quick one is studies show that acts of kindness to a stranger or friend are a very powerful boost to your own happiness level. So I encourage people to do acts of kindness not out of being a selfless person, but out of being a selfish person, because it makes you feel better, it makes other people feel better. I just spent a month in Turkey helping Syrian refugees. And
wow.
You know, people say, oh, you're such a good person. No, I'm just an intelligent person. Because when you help other people and you see that other people are worse off than you, it does actually boost your own level of happiness.
You know, when I hear something like that, sometimes I go, you know, I don't see myself going, you know, with four boys here, being able to go to Turkey and just take a month off and volunteer. I just am not able to do that right now. Are there other things
mm-hmm.
that we could do that have some, kind of some of that same meaning that are on a smaller level that maybe you could suggest? Because I know a lot of us
sure.
would probably can't just go to Turkey.
Sure. And a lot of
really
times
cool you
get as much bang for your buck if you do an act of kindness that takes 30 seconds as much as it takes, you know, 30 hours. So you can just say what you really appreciate about someone. You know, you don't have to make it up, but, you know, think, hey, you know, I really appreciate this about you. That's an act of kindness. I write little love notes for my wife or get her flowers. Sometimes a friend needs a favor, or I'll even ask a friend, hey, I know you're busy. I know you've got a lot going on. I have a free half hour. Is there anything I can do for you? And that just shocks people. You know, it doesn't take much to show up as being kind nowadays, because there's not a lot of people being kind. So sometimes if a waitress gives me really good service, I don't just leave a nice tip. I say, you know, you made my meal much more enjoyable, and you are really good at what you do. I really appreciated that. You know, they don't get comments like that very often. If I see a nice movie, I'll recommend, hey, I know you're into movies like this, and I think that you would love this. I'll send them a movie from Netflix to their house so that they can watch it. Little stuff like that can really make a difference. So a lot of them don't have to take much time at all.
Yeah, I love that. And I also love the fact that in everything you said there, you didn't mention money at all, because sometimes people think that it's a monetary random act of kindness, like leaving a $100 bill. You know, I saw on the news the other day they're having $100 scavenger hunts kind of thing,
right.
Like in Central Park and things like that as random acts of kindness. Or it doesn't have to be monetary, though, right? That's great and everything.
No, in fact,
$800
most acts of kindness certainly don't involve that. They're really little appreciations or little thoughtfulnesses that you can do really for anyone, even a stranger. Yes, I saw that this woman was looking for a pen to sign something the other day in line. I had a pen in my pocket, and I said, here, you can have it. And then,
right.
You know, she uses the pen to sign the thing, gives it back, and I said, no, you can have it. And she's like, what? So this
yeah.
pen cost me, I don't know, 40 cents or something. And to her,
yeah.
it just, like, blew her reality that I would give this pen to a stranger. So it doesn't take much nowadays to really touch people, because we're all so busy. Acts of kindness actually show up very, very powerfully.
Yeah, I love that. My son and I were just in Washington, D.C., with my husband, and my son's really interested in airplanes, so we took him all around and everything. And my husband had to work one morning, and my son and I were in the bagel place, and I said, Quade, let's buy somebody their breakfast. And he's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah, let's just anonymously buy somebody their breakfast. And he's like, well, it's weird if you do it anonymously. They're going to be like, who did that? And I said, no, it's perfect. It's a random act of kindness. So we picked somebody out in
right.
back of us and bought them their stuff. And my son still is talking about that, and it's like a month later. And he's
wow.
like, when I grow up, I'm going to do that. And I'm like, perfect, you
uh-huh.
should. That's a random act of kindness. That person will never know what you did, and it's awesome. And it just changes the world for people. That person looked around.
Yeah, you know,
so funny.
When I was when I talked to the Dalai Lama, he said that kindness is his religion, which touched mm-hmm. me, because, you know, he's obviously the head of Buddhism, but he said he considers that kindness is his religion and his practice. And he said it makes him feel good, it makes other people feel good, and it brings more kindness into the world. So that's a very simple method that people have access to. But another method I thought I'd try with you, and we could see how it works. Are you ready?
Perfect. Yeah, I'm ready.
So this is a method called Three Good Things, and it's been shown in numerous studies to have 10 times the effect of antidepressants in helping depressed people overcome depression.
Fantastic.
And it only takes about 2 minutes a day. It also helps happy people to feel a lot happier, but it works slowly, so you have to keep at it. But it only takes about 2 minutes a day. And the method involves two questions. The first question is to ask somebody, what's something that is good that has happened to you in the last day, or something that you've appreciated in the last day?
Oh, okay. Do you want me to answer that or just write it down?
Yeah, yeah. Give it a shot.
I had so many good things happen to me this past day. I would say one thing that's good that's happened to me in the past day is that I woke up breathing.
Yeah, because had that not happened, it would have definitely been a much worse day.
Yep.
Okay, so you're appreciating just waking up and being alive. That's good. Now, the second question is really the key question here, and that is, what trait or characteristic about you allowed you to appreciate this good event? What trait or characteristic in you either attracted or allowed you to appreciate this good event?
I'd probably like toss up between love or gratitude. I'm kind of a gratitude human being. Yeah, peace, love, gratitude. I'm probably in the wrong decade. I'm not sure.
So it sounds like you have over your life grown this ability to feel grateful for your life.
Yeah.
And that makes you feel, when you wake up, it makes you feel really good.
Yeah.
And it probably, that ability to feel grateful for your life not only influences you, but certainly influences everyone you meet. Because, you know, just like the flu, gratitude is contagious. So it's a wonderful gift that you're bringing into the world because you have this somewhat unique ability. And if you focus on what good is happening in your world and how you help to create it through your own unique abilities, soon you start to feel like you are a healing force in the world. And your identity starts to feel like, hey, I can bring my own happiness to me and the people I care about. And once you tune into that feeling where you feel your identity is that you're a happy, healing force, that greatly increases your level of happiness no matter where you're starting from, even if you're starting from being depressed.
You know, you are so brilliant. I love it when people come on the show and I get to take notes while they talk. I love that kind of person on this show because you have such a beauty of teaching people, to teach people how to feel things. And when you were talking, what I was thinking of was, you know, there's things going on in my life that aren't so happy. For example, and it's not directly to me, but like my dad's been really sick for a long time. And, you know, on Father's Day, my dad didn't have so great of a Father's Day. My dad was sick in bed. Sometimes people could wake up, and I'm not this person where I don't still feel gratitude and still feel happy when I wake up and stuff like that, but sometimes when those loved ones around us are sick or something isn't quite right and so forth, it sort of cancels out the gratitude for some reason, and we come down out of our gratitude and into the funk. And I'm wondering if you could talk about that a little bit, like to the person who doesn't answer that question, who has a lot of trouble answering the good things. You know, question one, what's something good that's happened to you today? What if somebody answers that and says, well, I can't think of anything. My life sucks.
Right, right. Well, you know, part of being happy isn't that you don't experience pain or difficulty. You know, life is difficult. It's always throwing us curveballs. And so that makes it even more important that people learn simple ways to let go of difficulty, because if you don't know those ways, it soon the difficulties just overcome your life. So it's important, you know, in this stressful age we live in, to make sure that people are learning effective ways to let go of difficulties and pain, and effective ways to expand or allow the goodness of life to be there. So it's not that, you know, I'm going around saying happy, happy all the time. I had some really difficult things happen to me yesterday. But luckily, I know of ways to let go of them so that today is a whole new day. Now, for a person who, when you ask them what good thing has happened to you in the last day, and they say nothing, you know,
yeah,
I say, well, it can be really, really small. For example, it could be that you had a good burger for lunch yesterday, or it wasn't a horrible burger. Well, allowed you to enjoy the burger, or, you know, that's a kind of a crude example, but it might be, well, I had a nice interaction with my dog yesterday, you know, where she cuddled up with me for a few seconds. I enjoyed that. Great, you know, well, allowed you to enjoy that, you know, and you start with where you're at, and soon it can grow. You know, our minds are kind of like Velcro for negativity, and we want them to be more like Teflon. And if you ask the right questions, if you use the right methods, you can make improvement. I mean, I was a suicidally depressed kid, so I know that these things can work because I've used them, and the methods that didn't work I threw out, and the methods that were the best I put in my book because they seem to really work for people even in this stressful age.
Yeah. Now, is this a daily practice, a moment-to-moment practice, a weekly thing, something you pick up every 6 months and remind yourself, or how do your gratitude and happiness practices go, or what works best for you?
Well, it really depends on how motivated you are.
Yeah.
You know, some people might do a practice once a month. Some people, you know, a two-minute practice once a month. Some people might do a two-minute practice once a day. Some people might do a two-minute practice or even a 20-second practice once an hour. I tend to do about a 20-second practice once an hour. You know, over a day, that's probably only, you know, 10 minutes of time, but it makes a huge difference in my life. And I even can sleep less because I'm not trying to recover from so much stress at the end of the day. So it really depends on how motivated you are. You know, in the American cult, I call it a cult because, you know, it's a culture that teaches us that happiness will be found outside of yourself through more money, or as soon as I get the right relationship, or as soon as I'm healthy, or as soon as this, or as soon as that. But really, happiness comes from a good attitude and being able to let go of negativity more quickly. So when you finally give up hope that as soon as you get this, then you'll be happy, then you start to look, well, what really can I do today that might help? And luckily, there are some things that science show really, really work. And once you try them out and they work for you, then it's easier to keep them going.
Do you can you move to energy and talk a little bit about energy? That's one of my favorite things I love to talk about and share with people. And I have this notion that you are really an energy master.
Well, you know, you really get people who say, God, I'm so full of energy, and I wake up just like fully, you know, energized, and I'm totally depressed. That doesn't happen. Right. You know, energetic people tend to feel better. So the question becomes, how can you easily feel more energy? And I offer several methods in the book for doing that generally take under a minute or so, that can help you know, we weren't meant to sit in front of a computer for 8 hours a day. Our ancestors didn't do that. So we need to figure out ways to get our body feeling energized that don't take a long time. Now, exercise is obviously good for you, and it's good for feeling happy, but to be more efficient, there's certain things you can do in under a minute that actually can help you feel really good. For example, you can get up, stand up, and just shake the different parts of your body. Like, you know, you're shaking out your hands and your legs and just move your body in a really shaking method for a minute. And that will help you feel better. So the connection between your physical body and your emotions is very strong. And if you feel lousy in your body, you'll probably feel lousy in your emotions as well.
Yeah, I agree. I have a saying, what's best ever you, that's you go where you place your energy.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
Now,
go where you place your energy.
And there's luckily in this day and age, there's certain pills you can take at a health food store that help you feel energized that are better than coffee. There's certain movements you can do that help you in a minute or two to feel a lot better. One of my favorite things to do is just to, you know, if I'm getting too lost in stress and too lost in the little problems of life, is I take a three-minute break, and it's a three-minute dance break where I put on some silly song like Twist and Shout by the Beatles, and I sing along and just dance along for 3 minutes. And it's amazing how much better you can feel after those 3 minutes. And once you feel better, you're more likely to be better in the world. You know, studies show that happy people make almost $1 million more over the course of their life than unhappy people. And they also live 9 years longer. There's no pill as effective as happiness is for your health. And happy people also have half the rate of divorce. So it's not that success leads to happiness, as we've been taught in this culture, but happiness does lead to success, because when you feel better, you tend to do better in the world.
Yep, I would completely agree with that for sure. Wow, happy people make $1 million more over the course of their lifetime, live 9 years longer, and have half the rate of divorce. There's three good reasons to be happy for sure. We mentioned money. We just kind of touched on it a little bit. What about the
mm-hmm.
people who are never happy because they never have enough money? It's like, oh, my gosh, no matter what I do, I never have enough money. I'm always worried about money. It's like money becomes the whole reason for unhappiness, and everything kind of
trickles. Yeah, and, you know, in this culture, you get that message a lot, but there's good news. You're not alone. Everybody does not have enough money. No matter how, I've met people who are making $7 million a year, and they felt like they did not have enough money. That's just a property
really?
Of the mind. We always feel like we don't have enough money. And that'll never change, no matter how much money you get. You'll always feel that. So that being the case, studies show that once you're middle class, more money does not boost your happiness level. So, you know, everybody thinks they'll be the exception. But that's what the studies show, that money does not really make much of a difference once you are middle class.
So
you want go on.
Well, no, I was just going to, right there, just stop you for a second and just ask you. So I just thrown an example out there. So let's say my carpet on my stairs needs to be replaced. This is a personal example.
Mm-hmm.
My carpet is dead from before. You know what I mean? It just needs to change. I think, I'm not happy. My carpet needs to be replaced. If I replace that carpet, am I going to suddenly be ecstatic?
You will for about an hour. You'll be very happy for about an hour.
Yeah, carpet's replaced.
Maybe
great.
A day.
Maybe a day. Needs to be replaced pretty bad. But can you? I just threw that out there as an example because it's a lot of the way people think, from cars to carpet
uh-huh.
to refrigerators to. I could name 10 things in my life right now that need to be replaced, and we think, oh my God, you need this, and you're suddenly bummed out that you don't have as much as the person across the street or next to you or driving by you or whatever, and you get unhappy. A lot of people do this.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well, what you'd have to see is when the last time that you said that and you did get the carpet replaced or the whatever it is, you were happy for a day or two, and then something else needed to be
right.
done. And it's always something.
Yeah. always something.
It's always something. And it's always something even for people who are making $50 million a year. You know, I've done, as a psychotherapist, I got to meet some of these people and do therapy sessions with them. And one client was saying, you know, he was depressed. I said, why are you depressed? And he said, well, my brother bought his own private plane, and it's nicer than my private plane. That's how the mind works.
Yeah,
so
of course.
So rather than try to fill up ourselves outwardly, what we need to do is fill up ourselves inwardly, because you can never get enough of what you don't need. But if you know how to
never get enough of what you don't need.
But if you can feel more gratitude in your life, if you can feel more connections and deeper connections with the people you care about, if you can have play and humor as part of your daily life, then, you know, the fact that the carpet is worn out doesn't bother you as much.
Right.
And you're feeling good along the way.
Yeah, I just,
if you keep
I throw that
putting
out
off
there
your happiness,
no.
If you keep putting off your happiness into the future, then you will never be happy now. The book is called Find Happiness Now, because now is the only time that one ever lives in. And if you're always putting off your happiness, then you're not going to be a happy person.
Yeah. I might be one of the few people who loves all the fingerprint stains on my ceiling. I really do. Because, you know, they've been trying to jump and reach that ceiling for so long. You know, boys do that.
Uh-huh.
Boys, you know, I'm the only girl in a house of five guys, and they're the opposite of me. They're like, look, I gained 10 pounds. I gained 20 pounds. I can touch the ceiling. Look how tall. You know, they're totally opposite of me going, I need to lose 10, and, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
But, you know, my ceiling in the kitchen, you know, I remember the first time somebody did that, and I'm like, oh, my God, you got fingerprints all over the ceiling. I'm like, never mind, it's funny. And that it's become a joke. There's this one part in the kitchen where they all now just touch it, or they're, you know, it just, what I'm trying to say is that you got to be grateful, because there's going to be a moment where they're out of the house, they're in college, they have their own families and everything, and you're going to kill for the moment where they jumped up and put that fingerprint on the ceiling.
Exactly.
And if you miss it, you've missed the moments. Mm-hmm. Same with the carpet,
you know,
everything.
Reminds me of a story when John Lennon, the former Beatle, was 8 years old. He had an assignment in class by his teachers, which was he was supposed to write about what he wanted to be when he grew up. So John wrote that he wanted to be happy. And his teacher went over to him and said, John, I don't think you understood the assignment. And John told his teacher, I don't think you understand life. Because really our purpose is to be happy. And that we should always be exploring and investing in how to do that. And in this culture, American culture, we're taught that the way to be happy is to acquire all the things that you don't have and fill yourself up by having a lot of control. And I ask people, well, how's that working for you? You know, it doesn't work that effectively. Not that I'm against that. You know, I have money and I like things to go the way I want. But it's better to have two approaches, an inner approach and an outer approach. And when you start to tune in that the inner approach works, then you get better results, and your life actually ends up going better.
Yeah. How are you? We're going to go really shallow for a minute here, and just talk about wrinkles.
Wrinkles.
Talk about wrinkles someone's forehead. You know, and just how people are pissed at the wrinkles. They get them. Botox, they get them, every kind of wrinkle thing known to mankind to get rid of those wrinkles instead of stopping and appreciating the fact that they're breathing. I mean, I have a completely different approach on wrinkles, and maybe I'm nuts, but having, you know, nearly died a couple times, and not that I let myself go or anything like that, but a wrinkle doesn't freak me out. I'm 45 almost. I'm like, okay, I'm starting to get wrinkles and everything, and my friends are like, oh, my God, we've got to go get Botox. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. And I'm like, chill. you know, I'm not doing that. And
right.
There's just such a lack of appreciation for the wrinkle, even, and the age
yeah.
you are, and the fact that you're still alive and breathing. I mean, I back my world up all the way to there. And I don't see that a lot of times. I see people really trying to hide how old they are. They won't say how old they are. They lie. They do everything in their power to try and fight aging rather than being appreciative of being alive.
Yeah, and it seems to be a losing battle because you're going to age. So,
I don't
you're
get
trying
it.
To fight trying to fight reality is never a path to happiness.
Yeah, and,
but,
and we
you
know how old people are too. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's why do people want to hide their wrinkles? They think that if they did not have wrinkles, that they would be more appreciated by the people around them.
What is
that? That might be true, at least superficially. But really what gets people to appreciate you is your level of joy and being and how much people feel that you care and love and accept them and how happy you are. Would you rather be with a person who has no wrinkles, who is stuck up and arrogant, or would you rather be with a person who has wrinkles, who accepts you, who loves you, and you have a good time with? That's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
But most people don't think of that. They think, oh, I'll have to get rid of my wrinkles. No, why not invest in being the type of person who people are attracted to just because they like being around you?
It's hard to explain. I that might be the first time I've ever actually said that out loud, the way I feel about that. Inside, because I just don't, I see so many different things around me, and, I'm not very judgy. People can do what they want to do, but just for me personally, I love to just back up my world and to just breathe in gratitude just because of everything that's happened to me, and so I see things a little bit differently from my own soul and being. I wish people could have a little bit of that sometimes when they're fighting age. Because this, my dad says it, my dad has been through everything. We call him the ICU warrior. He's a kidney cancer survivor and a stroke survivor and all these things. And, it's written in my book, he smiled while he was on a ventilator because he was alive.
Wow. Well, people like that are a real inspiration. And it's important to find people like that, to be inspired, to know that there's another way other than being on the treadmill of more, better, faster, how can I fill myself up? How can I fight reality and wrinkles and everything else and have bouncy hair, which are all the messages we get on TV? And instead, how can I find some joy and peace within and trust that that will be a good way to live life? There's not many commercials that tell you about that. So we have to make sure we find people and books and movies that will inspire us in this direction, which is really more real.
Yeah. Yeah, your book, I downloaded your book today on Kindle. Your book is available wherever books are sold, but I grabbed mine off of Amazon today, and I've got it in front of me pulled up here on Kindle. And it's doing really well, too. Great job on all the sales of it and everything. It's a really good book, everybody listening. I would really encourage you. And it is a book that can be read easily on the internet, if you don't want to buy paperback or if you've got some type of reader or whatever. Sometimes they're hard to read when they're on the ebook, and this one's really, really easy to read. How we were just talking about wrinkles and so forth? Sometimes I do this with guests, I just sort of randomly click or turn to a page. And where I turned to in your book was How to Be Filled with Confidence, Power Songs and Power Moves. That actually kind of ties in a little bit maybe to what we were just talking about too. Or is there something else? We have 10 minutes left that you'd rather talk about in your book. That's what I turned to, but maybe you have something that you want to.
Anything works. With power songs and power moves are a way to change how you feel rather simple. If you play a song that you like and you move your body as if you felt really good, you'll start to feel really good. And if you're ever feeling too good, you can do the opposite. You can, sit hunched over with your shoulders near your ears and walk slowly, and you'll start to feel depressed. how we move our body affects our emotions. And in fact, the word emotion has the word motion in it. So that's one way of feeling good. And, you know, it could be said that's somewhat superficial. That doesn't lead to a deeply fulfilling life, but it can help you out of an emotional rut. So by giving people a lot of simple tools, they'll find the ones that work for them. And sometimes if I'm feeling just kind of groggy or feeling kind of down, I'll play some nice music, and I'll go for a five-minute walk with my dog. And when I return, I'm a different person than the person who originally was sitting there. So that's a very simple thing people can do, and it's very effective. Now, another thing which I kind of like is to be able to interpret things differently, meaning that you take whatever happens and you come up with a different way of interpreting it. For example, yesterday I lost something that was very dear to me, you know, a book, and I was bummed out. And so I asked myself a key question. I said, well, what could be good about this? And the first thing I said was, nothing. You know, it was a really important book.
Sure.
And then my wife asked it of me again. She said, well, what could potentially be good about this? And finally I said, well, maybe it'll help me to take better care of my stuff. You know, and then she said, what else? And I said, well, maybe I can get help in looking for it. And it ends up my wife called a friend of mine, and she and I looked for the book. And we had a good time looking for it, meaning I felt really supported by my friends and my wife. And it ends up we found it. So it ended up being a really warm-hearted experience for me because I got the help that I needed, my friends supported me, and I found the book. Now, if every time something bad happened, we said, well, what could be good about this? You'd start to feel better. I didn't tell you my I have a story along these lines that's just kind of fun. I was once in Thailand, and this man, kind of an arrogant businessman, saw this monk on the road, and in a disdainful way, he said to the monk, if you're so wise, why don't you teach me a lesson about heaven and hell? And the monk looked up at him and said, well, I don't think I could teach you anything about heaven and hell. For one thing, you probably don't have a caring bone in your whole body. I mean, you look like an angry, uptight, stressed out person, and like you're just wasting my time. Well, this got the guy really upset. And he's actually ready to, like, punch this monk in the face.
Punch the monk out.
And the monk looked at him in the eye and said, that's hell. And then the businessman realized that this monk actually got, you know, risked getting beaten up to teach him this lesson about hell. And he unclenches his fist, and in gratitude, he bowed to the monk. And the monk said, and that's heaven. Now, what I like about this story is that he interpreted the same words one time to mean that he was getting insulted for no good reason, and then a moment later he had a different interpretation of the same words that made him feel great gratitude. So we never know how the story ends, but if you ask, well, what could be good about this, it can help you to tune into the fact that there are good things that sometimes happen from the stresses in our lives.
Is the opposite of self-confidence self-destruction?
Self-destruction, or what was the last word?
Yeah, like self-destruction, like putting yourself down and so forth. Are they opposites?
Well, I think they can be. I think a more important question is, what can you do if you put yourself down a lot? What works to stop that? And
yeah, that'd be great.
One thing I found, there are some methods that are really good at changing that. I used to get down on myself all the time. But now I rarely do. Yeah.
Do you think a lot?
One thing,
you
can change that voice in your head to sound different. Like I used to have a voice in my head that said, you better not do that, you look stupid. And it would say that no matter what I did. And then I read that you can change the tone of that voice to sound like Mickey Mouse. So now when I hear that voice, I say, you better not do that, you look stupid. And that kind of makes me laugh. And it kind of completely takes all the air out of that balloon.
Got it. That's clever.
So, there's a lot of great ways to change what's between our ears. Just like, outer technology is always improving. We have better computers each year, there's better smartphones. There's better ways to tap into joy. There's better ways to connect with people. There's better ways to turn off that voice in your head. There's better ways to lose weight. There's better ways to stay motivated that are coming out each year. But most people don't know those methods, so they are trying to get through life with only half the horsepower.
Yeah, and the reason why I brought that question in at that moment, because I was thinking of the guy all dressed up in his suit and uptight and everything like that, and I wondered if he scratched below that surface, if it was really somebody who might be quite sad or destructive on themselves and kind of putting on a good show. I'm not sure, don't know the person, don't know that, but I just wonder, because I think a lot of people, at some point in the day probably say something about themselves that isn't positive, and it can be anything from I'm fat to I'm dumb, I don't have enough money, all those things we say, and sometimes it could be all day long you're saying this to yourself, and by the end of it, your day is consumed with how fat you are, or how your nose is wrong, or your hair is not long enough, or how you've got that wrinkle, or whatever. And I'm wondering if you could give somebody who's doing that maybe some tips on how to stop.
Sure. Well, one thing is you can change the tone of the voice to sound ridiculous, whether it be Mickey Mouse or Daffy Duck. That will tend to take the sting out of that inner voice off and make it lighter. And that's a first start. Another thing a person can do is they can meditate. And most of the time when I meditate, I do a very quick meditation. I might focus on my connection to my dog and how much I just totally adore her and remember times that, and people can do this for themselves. They could do it while I'm talking, focus on how much they appreciate a person or animal in their life and remember special times. And that will bring the energy from their mind down to their heart. And you can learn how to get to a feeling of appreciation more quickly, which is a great antidote to mind stuff. Mind stuff is a problem. We all have that, stress and putting yourself down. But if you can learn to connect with your own heart, then that makes a good antidote, and it quiets the mind, and it actually reduces your stress hormone levels by being able to do that.
Yeah. Perfect. What a great call. I think I've got to check time here. I think we're pretty much almost out of time. Yeah, we've got about a minute left. Any final things you want to give us? And I'd like to just mention to everybody to go buy your book. It's a definite great book. It's Find Happiness Now, 50 Shortcuts for Bringing More Love, Balance, and Joy into Your Life with Jonathan Robinson. He's been here for an hour chatting with us about ways to be happy, and his website is findinghappiness.com. Anything else?
Well, I have a bunch of free stuff on my website where people can download free happiness tips and articles and videos, and it's all free, so I encourage people to check that out.
Perfect. I've so enjoyed chatting with you. I hope you come back again. And I'm glad we finally got the show scheduled. Sorry about that. But what a joy to have you on the show. I appreciate you being with us and sharing all your wonderful knowledge and your book. It's great.
Well, thanks for putting out good stuff into the world. I do think that, as we said earlier, you're a healing presence, and what we put out to the world tends to come back to you.
Oh, thank you. Well, I think our network's very much like that. It's a good group of people at the Best Ever You Network, a wonderful, wonderful group.
Uh-huh.
So thank you, everybody, for your support. Thank you, Jonathan Robinson. Check out his website, again, findinghappiness.com. Tons of free information there, and his book is called Find Happiness Now. Thanks again, everybody. Thanks for listening on this beautiful summer day, and I hope you all have a beautiful day. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.